everybody. Welcome to TikTok, the podcast in which we rate smut recommended by TikTok. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
I'm Emily.
And this week we read Her Soul to Take by Harley LaRue.
Raylan is not your average romance MC. She's gothy, mod, clumsy. She runs a ghost hunting YouTube channel. And she has just moved back to her hometown to finish her last year of college. And suddenly, weird things start happening around her. A fellow student is murdered on campus. She starts seeing weird creatures. These twins, who are very popular, want to be her besties. And she meets a very handsome asshole security guard. What's really going on in this town? What does it have to do with her? And will the security guard be down to fuck? Find out in Her Soul to Take.
Will the security guard turn out to be a hot as fuck demon who thinks she's the sweetest thing ever?
I think I know this one.
Yes. And yes. Before we get into it, if this book sounds like something you would like to read, be advised that we do not shy away from spoilers. If you have read the book, we would love to hear from you. Email us at dicktalkthepodcast@gmail.com or find us on Instagram or TikTok at dicktalkpod, DikTokPod.
Hottest scene, the nipple piercing scene was the first one to come to mind.
I thought when Leon and Zane were fingering her
outside
the bar, that was pretty steamy.
I was like, all right.
Yeah, that was a good scene. That was a good introduction. Well, not, I guess not introduction. She had already met him, but
first encounter.
Yeah. I loved her getting fucked in a cemetery.
That was definitely my second hottest.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of making a TikTok of her being fucked upside down in the cemetery.
Just trying to like figure out the physics of it, or
I just have to do it.
Oh, okay, cool.
I have to actually make it.
You have to actually reenact. Okay, cool.
Yeah, there we go. What cemetery will you choose?
Oh, I'll just do a green screen.
Oh, come on.
Do it for the TikTok. But also don't dox yourself.
Yeah, I definitely would choose the cemetery scene. Which does allow us the chance to talk about some demon cock. Because it is described there. I do have it.
Cool. Oh, good.
If there could have been any remaining doubt in my mind that he wasn't human, the sight of his hard cock dispersed all doubts. His thick head had two additional ridges behind it, and a swell on the underside, making his girth terrifying.
I read a little bit of the second book, and they say that demon cocks are supposed to be too big. Like, they're not meant to fit in human vaginas.
Like orcs?
Yeah, I guess. Orcs just have a lot of cum. I have a lot of questions.
Yes.
I also have a fair amount of questions.
And like I said, I read a little bit of the second book and I think like 1 to 2 were answered. But mainly I just have questions.
Is the second book about Juniper or Everly?
Juniper.
Okay.
And so far I like it significantly more than I like this one.
All right.
Oh, word. Yeah. Okay.
Because this one, it wasn't my favorite thing, but not bad at all.
So I started it. I only got a little into it. And then I got sick and I didn't want to like look at a screen or anything. Mm. And I totally forgot what happened. So I started it over. And then I feel like I did that multiple times. Like, I don't know if I totally started it over multiple times, but like I just could not remember what had happened up to that point at all for some reason. I enjoyed it once I got into it. I was like, okay, yeah, this is pretty good. This is fine.
Dang. Yeah, this one hooked me pretty immediately, which was surprising. Considering the cover and the title and even the author's name to some extent, I think I was expecting more of a haunting Adeline feel. And it's like, oh, this is so much better than that.
Yeah.
I don't hate this. So that means I must love it.
I had a lot of trouble getting over how shitty of a person Raylan is.
Yeah.
She's
got some growing up to do.
She's not a good person. And she's annoying on top of that.
Would you care to extend on that?
Yes, please tell us more.
Yeah, sure. The major thing that I'm like, oh, you're terrible, was when she put Leon in the circle.
Yeah.
While he was asleep after they'd had sex. Like, I understand that she didn't know the trauma, but if you put it in a human sense and reverse the gender real fast, mm-hmm. just to make sure that we're viewing.
Yeah, it does not sound good.
Yeah, like you fall asleep on your lover's couch.
You wake up chained up.
Yeah, you wake up in a fucking cage.
Yeah.
It's not okay. And then her being like, well, I just didn't know what to do. You're not going to stay and protect me if I don't force you. And it's like, wow. Wow. Not only does she... You know, he falls asleep at her house. Before she traps him there, she takes a picture of him while he's sleeping. She fucking did that. Creeper. Because
mm-hmm. everything is content, except the things that should actually be content.
Except the very obvious content. And then when she sees the circle down in the basement that he was trapped in for, you know, like 300 years or whatever. And she's like, oh, but this makes me so sad. And I'm like, are we maybe reflecting a little bit mm-hmm. right now about our past actions?
Maybe say, I'm so sorry I did that to you.
Yeah. I didn't know anything. Really any.
Right. Yeah.
Metacognition happening here. Mm-hmm. Apparently not.
See, I actually thought up till that point, and I made this note right before she did that, like, wow, this relationship is one of the most communicative and open that we've seen in one of these never mind.
In terms of communication, it was also driving me nuts that neither of them would just talk about what a soul bond was.
Right?
Right?
I was like, well,
describe what exactly is on the table here.
Do we know what we're agreeing to here? Because she was just like, no. And he was like, well.
Right. Because like if someone were to say to me, you would have to sell your soul, I would just be like, well, souls don't real. Like, I don't have a concept. Do you mean my personality? Like, is that, I don't
my
believe
soul,
in
the
that.
Thing that gets dirty when I sin? Yeah, sure.
Right. Like, I just don't have a concept of what I would be giving up.
So it seems like she just becomes immortal and hangs out with him for eternity now. That's what selling your soul means?
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Eternity of your favorite kind of sex? Okay.
I mean, Zane actually lays it out in the second book. And I don't remember exactly what it was entailed, but it was laid out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was helpful in terms of making a deal.
Yeah. I think just the thing that I would be most afraid of with eternity is that I would get bored and I'd be stuck.
Yeah, I understand her resistance to wanting to commit yourself eternally mm-hmm. to somebody, which I assume is her resistance. I don't think it's actually stated.
I mean, that would make the most sense.
Yeah.
And Leon does have a lot of, like, humans are so sensitive about forever and,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah.
It's a long time.
It's a long time. Breakups were easy, too easy, because they needed space, because it just wasn't working, because I was moving, because I was too much. But commitment, to belong, to be really and truly wanted, that was hard.
So she's insecure.
She just sounds like she's been broken up with a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they're like, oh, man, I like Velma in that last movie and ghost hunting YouTube channel. You seem fascinating. And then, like, that's kind of all she has to offer.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, I need space.
Yeah. But the relationship went on a little too long because, you know, they really liked her cat.
Yeah, Cheesecake.
Yeah.
It's hard to break up with Cheesecake. It's easy to break up with Raylan.
Raylan.
Can we talk about the theism in this book?
It was strange.
Mm-hmm.
It really bothered me that God was capitalized every time.
Yeah.
In reference to a God.
Right.
Right.
The implication that there were many that had been, like, asleep for however many years.
Right. Like, why does he get the name? Right. What is that one?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it would go back and forth. Sometimes it would be the God.
Right.
Which I was fine with. But whenever it was just God, it was... very off-putting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
Theism check.
What other gods are lurking beneath the earth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Are they going to show up in the other books? Or is that just the one that they all have to fight?
My impression, just after having read the first book, is it's the three women and their different takes of this timeline.
That's how it's going so far, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because before I realized who would be showing up in the next books, it was just like, okay, and here's Juniper and Zane again, just having a little cameo, just a little
mm-hmm.
overlap. And it's like, Oh, they're going to get a book. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I, for a good few pages of this, thought that Everly was going to be the main character of this one.
Yeah.
We open with Leon's perspective, and she was just giving off some female main character energy when she was first introduced.
Honestly, I think any other character, Cheesecake, my favorite character.
Yeah. Oh, I would die for Cheesecake. Oh, my
Cheesecake
God.
Cheesecake is the cat, so we're all clear.
Would have been a better main character than Raylan.
Raylan. Yeah, that does sound like, I guess I'm thinking of Ray Dunn. The
yeah.
Plates and shit. I couldn't remember kitchenware.
I don't know much about the Pacific Northwest, but I feel like Raylan is not a common name.
That is a very
there.
Southern name, uh-huh. For sure.
Which is why we're saying it, Raylan.
Raylan.
Yeah, I feel like any first and middle name, especially of a woman, it's got to be said like this.
Mm-hmm. My first note was, I would die for Cheesecake the cat.
Yeah, Cheesecake's hands down my favorite character.
Yeah.
Cheesecake just needs to go live with her friend.
Yeah.
Is it Anaya?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, second note I have, this is already the best female friendship I've read for this podcast. When she gives her the book for free, the grimoire.
Yeah.
Which I felt led on by all of the cool book locations and the severe lack of research. Right? So when we first meet Anaya, she's just opened up her own bookstore. And I was like, okay, cool. This is going to be the equivalent of like the Buffy the Vampire Slayer library.
She's also a college student.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's in college.
Yeah.
To be clear.
And dating an investment banker who works in
engaged
Seattle.
Engaged.
That's right.
To be married.
Then we find out that the twins' father bought the beautiful, impressive library. And I was like, cool. Research time. No. Mm-mm. No, no, no.
No research.
No.
Ray never does like schoolwork either. She's in college, but never.
Let's talk about her being in college, because I have so many questions. I have questions about her financials. I have questions about her student status. So for starters, she transferred to this brand new college her senior year, and all of her credits just magically transferred with her, and she's still a senior?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And why would you transfer your senior year anyway? Like, just, it's 1 year. Just
tough it out.
Yeah. Right, go back like to your hometown. You weren't going with your parents anyway.
Yeah.
So, to Spain.
And she also says in the second chapter, I guess, her first chapter, that, you know, like, she's like, oh, man, you know, this YouTube thing isn't going to last forever. I won't be able to support myself forever. That bitch's parents just moved to Spain and are, like, giving her a cabin.
Yeah, she's fine.
For a hot minute. I'm like, so what are your expenses? Like, some groceries? And also, like,
cat
have you tried
food.
Calling daddy?
Out-of-state tuition, I guess? That's pretty steep.
Maybe. Who fucking knows? Apparently, I was really into the concept of the nighttime cowboy.
Oh. Yes. Forgot about that.
I was like, give me this book.
Yeah. I would have liked more Nighttime Cowboy.
The first ghost she ever saw as a child in her room was the Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want a Midnight Cowboy book for sure.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be smut. It can be the two of them as kids discovering the Nighttime Cowboy. Or it could be smut because it's nighttime.
True.
And he's in her house.
Or it could be like a Drop Dead Fred kind of thing of like a little girl and her imaginary friend, except instead of Fred, it's a Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah.
His name could be Fred.
Yeah.
It's true.
He's not named.
That should definitely not be smut. Man, this book had some good name-dropping specific songs.
I'm never pulled in. Like, I don't care. I just, like, glance over it. Like, okay, you mentioned a song, whatever. Did you look them up?
I did.
Of course you did.
The first one.
You want to sing one?
No.
You want to play it on the ukulele?
Yeah. Real quick. Yeah, she was like doing housework or something to Monsters by All Time Low. And I noted, okay, time to fuck up my Spotify algorithm. And then update, that was fucking horrible. And there were like four total songs, I want to say. And one of them was pretty good.
What style of music was it?
All Time Low is kind of like pop punk, right?
Yeah, so that one was pop punk. There was one at the Halloween party that was kind of a, like, sexy lo-fi.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the one that I liked okay was by a band called Cigarettes After Sex.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
I think it was like Nobody's Gonna Hurt You Baby or something like that. I was like, okay, this one's pretty good. This is pretty good. There was one called Antisocial Masochistic Rage by Ghost Mane. And I was like, okay, like this is fine. It's kind of like a dark metal song. This is the least bad song in this book so far. And then like 5 seconds later, ew, 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 mouth sounds. Because it stands for ASMR. Like that's the title.
Oh,
right. Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. There were at least 3 instances where the author used watching, waiting. And I just put commiserating like 3 times. That would have been the best name drop song this book could have had. I kind of really liked Leon for the most part.
I did too.
As far as like a dark, is this considered a dark romance? Yeah.
It's medium dark.
Yeah.
It's not full dark, I would say.
Okay.
It's like twilight romance. Dusk romance.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say not twilight, but
I know I thought that's where you're going at first.
I think the same though.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that, but less shitty. But yeah, I like a guy that'll take care of his lady and will kill for her and also wrap her in a blanket and give her cookies.
All of the room service.
Yes.
Yeah. And the spa day was nice too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd take one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Between Leon and Zane, fuck yeah, yes.
Yeah.
I am pro demon. They seem mm-hmm. great.
They do. Dude, they're better than fucking any dark romance boyfriends we've read so far.
Hands down.
Yes.
Because guess what? They're not rapists.
Yeah. Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, the literal demons.
They now, just want to steal your soul so they can coddle you for eternity.
Exactly.
Gosh.
Okay.
Sure. What's the problem?
Also, he bought her clothes that fit.
Yes.
That was hot.
How do you know my size? I said. I was like, God. At least she asked.
Yeah. And he was basically just like, I observed you.
My demonic measuring tape.
Right. There we go.
The only thing I did not love was him starting to call her baby girl. Which I know that does it for some folks.
Yeah, I kind of liked that.
It was different strokes, different folks.
I liked it more than doll, I think.
What really bothered me was when he used it in his internal monologue. And maybe I'm just in too many parenting Facebook groups. Because when someone in their brain refers to their significant other as my baby girl, it's just like, does this not sound like someone talking about their child? Keeping her safe, making sure nothing ever took my baby girl from me ever again, mattered more than anything else. Just seems like,
yeah,
losing a kid at the playground, not the love of your life.
I didn't like, and I understand that this is like a Dom, like renaming thing, that he always called her by her full name instead of Ray, always Ray Lynn, because immediately my head is the accent. Like, they'd be, like, hot and steamy. That's like, Rylan.
Gonna pierce your nips, Rylan.
So, does Leon have a driver's license? And how did he obtain?
That's a great question. I also wondered the same thing.
He must. I mean, apparently he has all of this money in hell to afford to whisk Rylan away to a nice hotel.
You still need, like, proof of a home address.
A birth certificate.
Just, you roll into the DMV. Flash your gold eyes. What won't they do for you?
That's true. I mean, the DMV worker is already in hell. So mm-hmm.
They say in the next book that hell rewards you for getting souls with earthly money. But also Leon hasn't been back to hell for quite a while.
Since he was captured by the Hadleys.
300 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Zane is just his sugar daddy. I think Zane's the one who owns the house because he does own a house.
Uh-huh.
I would bet he owns the vehicles too, but I don't know that for sure. But
keeping Leon in the style to which he is accustomed.
Also, when he picks her up for the first time and she's like right past her driveway, and I understand that like this is the country or whatever and it's a long dirt road to her driveway, but growing up in suburbia, he like picks her up and then turns into her driveway and drops her off. It's like, that's fucking hilarious. And all the eld were approaching her in the car, and she's like, what the hell was I supposed to do? And I was like, reverse? Hit them with your car? I got a list of options, babe. Bestie.
bestie.
At least she did finally start driving. So before I knew she had a car, I was thinking, can you not get a freaking bike?
Yeah, me too.
And then once we knew she had a car, you have a car.
You have a car, which I realized after.
Subaru?
Because she's like, well, great, I drove my Subaru the next day. Or also when Leon saw the Subaru and he was like,
you fool.
I realized the first scene we saw her, she had driven
there.
And I was like, so we fucking knew she had a car.
That's right, because I was so mad she left Cheesecake in the car to go into the bookshop. Bad pet parent once again.
He's got the AC on and his favorite music is playing.
You know what?
Monsters by All Time Low.
She didn't say that.
No. Can we talk about how she saw in the book a drawing of Leon and then saw him the next day.
Did not put it together.
And didn't recognize him with different color eyes?
Yeah, dude.
I was like,
maybe his human glamour is more detailed than just the change of eye color.
It should be change of eye color, claws, teeth, and black veins. But his black veins don't come out until they're in the church.
Mm. Yeah, she should have recognized him.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't a photograph. It was an artistic rendering. So maybe
what if it was a shitty drawing? It could have been a really shitty drawing, I guess. I would still be kind of embarrassed. And then not only did she not recognize him the next day, but when she summons him using that book, he appears and she still doesn't put two and fucking two together.
Then that's really the reprehensible one.
She's got to be worst ghost hunter ever. Like when she sees what she thinks are the statues, like the monsters that are coming after her. And she's like, oh, I guess these are really creepy statues from the art fair. I'm like,
no, you fool.
This is prime content. And take a picture. Yeah. Like,
yes.
Come on. On.
No wonder your YouTube channel is failing.
Yeah, you don't actually believe in any of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. Okay, obviously she releases zero content for this entire thing. But you know, him being like, well, I wouldn't release that. Like, show the video of the Summoner Circle up until the smoke happens. And then cut, because the camera went out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's your video. You're good on both sides. And you got killer content to... What's the problem? As someone who's run a ghost hunting YouTube channel, I got a lot of questions.
Well, obviously you never summoned an incredibly hot demon.
That's true.
And why not?
I didn't know. I wasn't like this back then.
Oh, also Leon's irises apparently change size.
That's a how lot. You read him.
I think you mean his pupils, because it says his irises had enlarged until the gold in his eyes was a slim ring. And I'm like, no, that's the iris.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I just was being very literal about it. And like the iris, there's no more whites of his eyes.
Yeah.
It's just
gold.
Just yeah.
Gold. Which would be cooler, I think.
Yes. Yeah. We got a healing scene where she heals his wounds.
Yes.
You're hurt.
Yes.
Yes.
Except he was like, I'm fine, I heal fast. And she's like, no.
Let me get the peroxide.
Let me get the peroxide. And then I'm going to take pictures of you when you are asleep.
Yeah, well.
And then I'm going to...
That part sucked, yeah.
Trap you on this couch.
Mm-hmm. Started sweet. Went south.
This is fine. I'm a good person. Why would you think I'm not a good person?
What on earth made him fall into deep eternal love for her?
I have no idea.
Me neither.
And also, what made her fall in such love with him?
What are her options?
In a town of 6,600.
She's going to die alone with Cheesecake.
Yeah.
And Cheesecake, despite him trying, can't do anything against the Eld.
He did try.
He was great.
With demon, dark romance, so much of this, I'm just like, why are you actually in love with this person? Like, mm-hmm. They don't have a personality, really. Like, they have some personality, but, like, I don't know. Has she, like, ever made you laugh?
Does she make you feel safe? No.
Well, I was about to be like, he's polyamorous, so he's clearly just collecting souls. Like, does it matter?
But I guess he's never collected one before.
Yeah.
Or he seems to have never fallen in love with a human before.
No, he did.
He did
that
the
human
violin.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
But I think before
could not reap that soul.
Yeah.
Zane is his.
But not a
human.
No.
Yeah, I guess he's only fallen in love with one other human.
And it didn't go well. Why.
Yeah.
So you think he'd learn. Or maybe he's looking for someone who, like, isn't threatening.
That she is not.
Nope.
No.
Hey, this one has no survival skills, personality, talent.
Sense of self-preservation.
Basic abilities.
She's a bit kinky, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's down for me to do and whatever I want.
Pretty.
Also, when he was like, tell me your fantasies. And she's like, you hurt me and then make fun of me for liking it. And I was like, he's already doing that. Like, we've seen it.
This was a good look for me into like why someone would be submissive, because I am a defiant young woman, I would like to think. But the whole like being helpless but desired. There was something thrilling and cathartic in imagining being helpless. Helpless but pleasured, helpless but desired. I understood it a lot better from this than like any other dark romance that we've read. As a way to display strength of like what you can endure. I don't necessarily want that myself, but I get why someone would.
I used to feel so guilty for fantasizing about being taken advantage of, as if that horrifying reality was something I would ever actually want outside the safety of my mind or consensual roleplay. But I'd panic read enough about the psychology of it that it no longer made me feel like a perverted hypocrite. There was something thrilling and cathartic in imagining being helpless. Helpless but pleasured. Helpless but desired.
There you go.
That's what you research, girl.
Because you're not researching for your class.
Hell no! Or even the fucking demon that you summoned.
Nope. Yeah. That makes
sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why not? Because, like, if you know deep down that you're not actually going to be hurt in a significant way, maybe on a surface level, you can accept that. You can take that. Yeah. You can even maybe enjoy that.
Well, and it's helpless, not necessarily hurt. Though she does like that too.
Right. Would you be helpless if there wasn't the chance of being hurt?
Maybe. I mean, because if you're chained down, you're still kind of helpless, right?
Yeah, but yeah. There's like the chance that you could be hurt.
Calm down, Killian.
No, I'm just saying, like, why else would someone chain you to something and...
To make you do your freaking homework.
Oh my God.
Finally.
Yeah, she needs a better Dom. Let's be honest. Leon's too nice. She needs someone to come in and like make her clean up her cabin. Instead of just talking on the phone with her mom all the time, make her do her homework. He does make her drive her car instead of walking alone in the middle of the night with monsters and murderers when there was a fucking murder like 2 days ago
that he knew about and knew she was next.
They had a safe word, mercy,
mm-hmm.
which of course I associate with Uncle Jesse on Full House. But anyway, I do wish we could have seen that work.
I was really hoping that she would use it in non-sexual times.
Oh, that would be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, what good is having a safe word if you don't know for sure that it would actually work if you used it?
Right.
Also, I know that there was one point where she was, like, bound by some invisible force. Like, her arms were bound to the table or whatever she was lying on. And then she sucks his dick. And I was like, well, what good is a safe word or a tap out if you can't do either of those things? Mm. Although I do think with the invisible bondage, she could have broken it if she wanted to. I think that was the implication.
I mean, if she can suck a dick, she can say mercy, right? So
not with a dick in her mouth.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe he'd be like, what are you trying to say?
You know what the safe word is in that situation?
I mean, if she weren't chained, was she gonna sign it? Like,
well, she could at least tap out if she wasn't bound.
Okay. All right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I said that you just look at me and shook your head. I'm like, well, I don't know what.
You said sign it. I thought sign a piece of legal paper. Like, yeah, contract. This is the whole issue.
I won't be satisfied with merely your blood, Raylan. I was shaking on my perch as his mouth came nearer. His eyes lingered between my legs, bright and inhumanely golden. Your blood, piss, sweat, cum, I want it all. Mine. Abandon your inhibitions now. You won't have much use for them anymore. And I just wrote, your piss is mine! Give me that piss.
Takes a shit on his lap and gives him a hand.
No. Oh my God, Karina, no.
That's not in this book, but it isn't a future book that we will be reading for the pod.
I don't think that book exists, but if
how
I find
is that a typo?
Maybe it's take a shot.
Maybe.
I'm going to go with it's take a shot.
Or sit.
Take on his lap. No. That's shit.
That's got to be shit.
Take a shot on his lap. That doesn't really work either. We digress.
Yeah. I do love when Anaya is introducing her to Victoria and Jeremiah, and she says that Raylan is a ghost hunter, and says, I was relieved to see both Jeremiah and Victoria look intrigued instead of repulsed. And it's like, girl, you literally, y'all all literally go to fucking goth university. Like, it just sounds like it was straight out of a gothic novel.
Yeah. It's a gothic university in a town of 6,600 people. Just seems
a little on the nose.
A little bit. Also, they made a point of describing there are no chains in Avalon, but there were Starbucks cups on campus.
Interesting.
This bothered me more than it should have.
Well, they are in Washington.
That's true. Maybe there are only Starbucks cups in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a Seattle chain, like started in Seattle.
Yeah, you can't go to just the unnamed town small grocery store and get solo cups.
Starbucks just came in and ate them.
Mm-hmm. There's no solo cups, only Starbucks cups.
Remember when they were at a Halloween party and she was getting really creeped out by Jeremiah, and then 5 seconds later when he comes back and gives her a drink, she fucking takes it?
She sure does.
Yep.
And she takes a shot that he pours right at the beginning, too. I'm like,
hello.
What are we doing? You know exactly who's a danger to you. Also, her refusal to even give any credit to Leon that, like, maybe he's right is so frustrating.
It is.
They weren't cult members, as if.
Girl, you have seen some real monster shit, and you have a hard time believing that these people,
they're just so nice to her,
are cult members.
The limits of her belief. That's all I want to say.
And she didn't even take into consideration when Juniper was like, girl, don't drink that, when they're dancing together at the party. She has to force her fingers down Ray's throat, which, by the way, hot.
And Ray's like, what are you doing?
Oh, why do you want me to vomit so bad after telling me not to drink the drink I just drank? From this guy that I'm getting bad vibes from.
Who I know literally wants to murder me.
Yeah.
Oh, also for the Halloween party, where she obviously got drugged, she didn't even drive herself. I was like, you're planning on ditching out early. You haven't told your best friend any of this, and you didn't drive yourself to this party.
Poor planning. Because in a town of 6,600, you think you're going to catch an Uber?
Right.
Yeah, of course she dressed as Velma for the Halloween party.
Yeah.
Literally the least surprising thing I've ever read. That scene was pretty hot, if I remember correctly, that sex scene when they fucked at the Halloween party.
I was like,
in Kent's bed.
What are you doing?
Right. That was really dumb.
That was very
might have been
dumb.
Hot, but it was dumb.
What are you doing?
Yes.
You have a job. You're not supposed to be. What?
She was just so happy to see him again.
Am I the only one?
No. They were looking for tools and shit to protect themselves and to fight the god, but they had to get rid of their tension first. Mm-hmm.
The tension.
It had been too long without a steamy scene. I wonder, what is the range of this waking god? How far do you have to? Could you go to Australia, Southeast Asia, and be safe from its clutches if it has not yet fully woken? What I'm getting at is, why the hell did they go back to Avalon after having somewhat escaped?
Why does Raylan do it?
Yeah. Raylan and Leon.
Oh, from the hotel?
From the hotel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because Victoria called and said her father was dead and Raylan had to get her cat.
But half this town is still in that cold.
I know.
Yeah, and Raylan just thinks that all her troubles are gone until Leon's like, well, there are other people. And then they still go back.
And the creatures?
The creatures.
Independent of the Labiri cults, the creatures were trying to get her harder than anybody. No, it was dumb to go back.
It's interesting where the creatures can't get to. Juniper is protected when she's in a psych ward, but not when she's far away, right? Not when she's like in New York. So like, can they not climb? Like, is it because the like, hotel is high up? Like,
not even demons want to go to a psych ward.
Or this or hotel, this apparently. Hotel.
But they have a great spa.
I know.
Okay. Not having read book two, I just thought they were too far out of Avalon. But apparently that is not an issue.
Yeah.
The room service was too good. They knew she needed a spa day.
Mm-hmm.
So after Jeremiah sprung his trap when she came back, I found myself wondering, how did he know that she was going to come directly back to the grocery store? And how long has he been?
Right?
She wanted snackies.
Yeah, it was they stopped at a gas station.
No, I thought it was a grocery store.
Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe it's a small town. Yeah, maybe it's a combination gas station grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, has he just been waiting out there for hours and yoked watching, a few of his waiting, friends
commiserating.
To die?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't fucking know.
He just
especially because they seem
day.
Like they randomly stopped, too.
Exactly. Maybe he put a... apple a tile in her
he's,
car.
He's like a Hawk from Falls Boys. He's got cameras.
Yeah,
everywhere.
There we go.
He's just mm-hmm. camering around. Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't surprise me. Creepy rich boy shit.
Mm-hmm. He's got a carnival tower set up.
Okay, so I have questions about the sacrifices too. Because nowhere in the book does it specify it has to be sixth generation. I know sixth generation from the next book. Where it's not specified, but it's mentioned. But like, all it says is these three souls were let out, so I need repayment. So why, when the father dies, does the brother still kill
yeah.
Victoria? Like, I'm like, why don't I just throw his body in there?
Right.
Because
right.
like, that's what they satisfy? Did for Juniper's brother, essentially.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It doesn't...
I guess maybe because he was of the right generation,
right.
quote unquote.
But also,
but,
like,
he doesn't, but, like,
you don't
we didn't
have to kill
that.
Them right then, blah, blah, blah. Like, already died, okay, just toss him on
yeah.
in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wondered that earlier on. Kent Hadley was so focused on releasing the god. And if you're so obsessed with that, why not sacrifice
you
yourself, man?
Yeah,
instead
well,
of one of your children.
We knew he wasn't going
to
do that.
I know, but I wanted to slap him and ask that.
I also can't get over that Kent Hadley and whoever else are called magicians.
No.
I could not take that seriously. Like
the Liberi.
Yeah, that was fine. Honestly, if you had called them wizards, I would have accepted that.
Magicians.
Magicians, though. Like, it really made me think of on Arrested Development.
Yep.
We demand to be taken seriously.
Kent does demand to be taken seriously.
Well, yeah, he's gonna saw a woman in half.
He owns half that town.
God, the end. So he tells her... leave, just drive until you're safe. And she decides, instead of driving to a place where she's safe and summoning him, where he can be safe with her immediately, she turns around and goes back
yeah.
into the woods with no plan and no weapons. I was like,
the demon boyfriend might be killed by this Reaper. Sure, she could take him,
yeah,
frail little human.
Yeah, instead of fucking summoning him, like...
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing?
So she has the page from the grimoire to do that because he gives it
right.
to her
yeah.
to do that.
Yeah.
Because he trusts her.
To do that. But also she like goes completely underwater with it and it's still.
Yeah. Not destroyed.
Readable at all.
It's magic.
Mm-hmm. Must be on waxed
okay.
paper or something.
No,
I had that same thought too. How is this not pulp?
Exactly.
I was actually more concerned about her cutting herself in mine water and how
yeah.
infected I was going to get.
God.
It was a cut made for love.
Water.
Doesn't get infected.
Fucking disgusting.
Did anyone else feel robbed by the ending? I was like, we went this whole book and like, she doesn't get any revenge. They show up after everybody's been killed.
Yeah.
Like, both times. And also, like, he's just carting her passed out ass around as he's, like, looking at the burned down house.
That was how I knew
the subsequent books have to also focus on the same timeline so that the other main characters would have their strong moments or whatever.
Yeah. But it being a book about Raylan, and then it was like, somebody else got the revenge.
Mm-hmm. I guess it makes sense because she's incapable of anything.
But just think how sweet it'll be to read about Juniper avenging her brother and killing Jeremiah.
I did like the story itself when she is fighting the god. I really enjoyed that whole part of it.
Mm-hmm. Karina, how did you feel about that god's tentacles?
I mean, honestly, this author gets an A+ on monster creation.
Yeah.
Like, the monsters in this book
were... He was real creepy.
Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, the change that the final god goes through, like, from being very attractive to very repulsive, I'm like, this is good. It's good.
Yes.
Oh, I did like the scene where she's out to lunch with Anaya, and the tentacles start forming in the clouds, and she has that, like, zone-out moment. I was like... Yeah, that's an elder god.
Yeah.
I feel tempted to talk about the monsters, but none of them were fuckable. So
talk about them anyway.
They grew in intensity as they came after Rey and failed to lure her back to the god. So the Eld were the first ones. They are the ancient beasts of the forest who are sustained only by blood, magic, and pain.
They smell bad.
They smell bad.
And their skin is rotting off their carcasses.
They're the ones that were statues.
Yeah.
So they are the ones that she thought were Halloween decorations because it was very conveniently Halloween.
Also, interesting fun fact from the next book, they look different depending on the region of the United States that you're in. Yeah. They look like crocodiles when you're down south. They look like giant rats when you're in New York.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's this cool. one was... That was that the deer skull?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was really cool.
And then golems came for her. Big and bad.
Now, are those spelled G-O-L-L-U-M?
They are.
Is it? Okay, because I was thinking of G-O-L-E-M. Because the only thing I saw about G-O-L-L-U-M was my precious. But I think... A golem, an animated anthropomorphic being in Jewish folklore, which is entirely created from inanimate matter, usually clay or mud.
Yeah. Meanwhile, these are pale white beings that stalked the forest in silence, their intelligence far beyond that of the Eld.
When that happened, I was like, I don't think that's the word you're looking for, unless you're just making something up, which is possible. It is fantasy.
So you're saying she was just making something up?
I think she was either misspelling golem or saying it's a golem, but not the Lord of the Rings thing.
Very much not.
It's a different thing.
Although perhaps to the golems, Raylan was their precious.
Damn. That's true.
Imagine you've just survived this traumatic experience and you know half this town has tried to kill you and saw you get sacrificed. And then you roll up to class, and they're your professors and classmates. What do you do? Nothing, because you're Raylan, and college is a lark anyway.
Yeah, I don't even know what I would do in that situation. I mean, probably not go to college anymore.
Yeah. Take a little, like, health incomplete.
I don't know. I think I would do what Raylan did. Just like, well... I gotta graduate. Like, what do you
do? I guess I'll just sit in the front row of the class and not take my eyes off the professor and just maintain eye contact the whole time.
Maybe bring the demon boyfriend along.
Yeah, he's auditing.
I don't know. They saw her get sacrificed. She lived, but, like, they don't know how she lived. And also, somebody killed all those people. I think she's getting straight A's.
Straight A's for Rey.
Not that it's that hard your senior year, because everyone just wants you out anyway.
There was a lot of vaping in this book.
I don't love that product placement.
Also, like, she calls the demons potheads because she sees them smoking weed, like, twice.
Yeah.
I was like, you're in college. Like, grow up.
Yeah, grow up and also... No room to talk popcorn long. Like, your strawberries and cream vape.
that he holds to your lips for you. Here's your vape, babe.
Were all demons such stoners?
She also asks, are all demons like you? And he replies, bisexual? Yes. Blah, 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 blah. Like, but that's all I have highlighted, which...
Yeah.
Which also, she's canonically bisexual, so like...
Right. Yeah. She dated someone named Rachel.
Who she was upset that she broke up with her, so...
That's why she moved back to Avalon.
With eternity, you just...
Right. But I said, Ray and Rachel, come on, dude.
I never made that connection. Me neither.
Is it better if it's Ray Lynn and Rachel?
No, it's Rachel still, and Ray Lynn? It's still too similar. I'm glad there was no more Rachel content Rachel after
Ann.
That.
Rachel Ann and Ray Lynn, the cutest couple.
Rachel Ann
Marie.
They're
from Mississippi.
I suppose Southern California is on one side of the Mississippi.
Yeah, yes. The more happening side, honestly. I rated this. If you're tired of the sweet girl and asshole guy romance trope, then welcome to a role reversal.
I rated this Ebony Darkness Dementia Raven Way walked so Raylan could get fucked in a cemetery.
I'm going to put on my best Elvis voice and say, Mercer.
Yeah, this was like if the author of My Immortal did a little growing up, learned to write a little better, and here we are, the goth girl's wet dream.
TikTok stars Karina McGeehan, Killian Ross, and Emma Usher. It's edited by Karina McGeehan, produced and bartended by Derek Adams, and recorded at Shadow Public Radio.